A few years ago, the Federal Trade Commission testified it had received more than 42,000 fraud complaints from the military community. The FTC says service members are especially susceptible to financial fraud. With me to talk about how to prevent that is Paul Cantwell, an assistant director at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. He runs the Office of Service Member Affairs. And Paul, can you kind of set the stage for us? How big of an issue is it that service members and their families have to deal with this kind of fraud?
Your observation is correct, and that is that there is a bit of fraud. There are predatory practices that are sometimes directed at service members, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One of the obvious reasons is that frequent moves, deployments, long periods of separation, the rigors of military life impose special burdens on service members and their families, and sometimes they can affect the financial well-being of those families as well.
Do you find that these scammers are specifically targeting service members, or do they just happen to come upon service members in their scamming of the general public?
I think it's a little bit of both. Certainly, there are some folks who target service members specifically. As you might know, our military force is relatively young. Half of the force, the active duty force especially, is 25 years or younger. In many cases, these are their first jobs, first consistent paychecks, etc. They are folks who are living on military installations, which often have outside of their gates a lot of financial institutions that operate in this fashion, et cetera. So there is a bit of targeting toward service members, affinity marketing that service members may be swayed by, et cetera. And quite frankly, some of it is geared at the entire consumer population as well. But it's a good observation to say that some of it is targeted, yes.
When you talk about some of the factors that military members face, talking about being young and maybe being on their own for the first time and having their first job, those seem like prime opportunities for scammers. And then when you add on the fact that they may be away from home for long stretches of time and probably have other things on their mind when they are away other than credit cards and things like that, I guess, how do you try to make sure that those things can be taken care of with all of those various other factors happening?
Well, there's a couple of ways to try to assist them and defeat these sorts of things. Education is by far and away the best vehicle. We in the Department of Defense spend a lot of time and effort just making sure that our folks know the types of responsible products to use. We have counseling services available to them. There are judge advocates, lawyers, and civilians, civilian attorneys who can help them. We have personal financial managers and counselors out there as well. So education and prevention are two of the great tools that we have at our disposal. In addition to that, having some sort of enforcement mechanism for folks who are found to have engaged in predatory activity is another way to deter that activity.
Is this a problem that is getting worse? I mean, do the numbers bear out that this is getting worse over time, or are things getting better?
I think that between the Bureau and the Department, it's an improving picture. Some of these industries, however, are very adaptive in nature. So sometimes the problems change, morph, adapt over time. What a lot of folks don't understand is that these types of issues can have an effect on not only individual behavior, but unit and mission readiness as well. So ensuring that our folks are protected and relieved of these problems is a principal concern for us.
What kind of adaptations have you seen some of these companies try to make?
Well, in the predatory lending industry, for example, which the Department of Defense regulates via something called the Military Lending Act, when the department tried to stamp out certain types of loans that had limits of a certain amount of money or a duration of a certain time, the lenders would simply change their products. They would make them of greater value for a longer period of time, et cetera. Some of these folks are very good business people and obviously can adopt business models that may fall outside of regulatory purview. So those are the kinds of adaptations that we've seen over time.
Are there particular either financial products or services that military members seem to be either particularly susceptible to or particular industries that you've noticed a lot of complaints over targeting service members?
One of the biggest challenges that we've seen involves debt collection practices. We monitor complaints from service members. That's part of our statutory mandate. And indeed, in the 6 years that we've been around, we've had more than 84,000 complaints from service members, veterans, and their families. And consistently, debt collection practices are at the top of that list, comprising nearly half of all the complaints that we receive. So we're very, very concerned about that, the contacting of unit commanders, threatening some sort of judicial action against them, threatening revocation of security clearances, which, of course, are very important to service members performing their operational duties. That's been something that has topped our list for a very long time now.
How big of a concern is it to the military that service members, especially who are on active duty, might be thinking about this kind of thing while they are abroad and, you know, in a situation where they should be focusing on what is exactly around them?
I think it is a huge priority for the department, and it is reflected most in the fact that their mantra is that financial readiness equals mission readiness. They know that we cannot have folks out there trying to perform operational missions who are concerned about anything except the mission in front of them.
Paul Cantwell is an assistant director at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and he runs the Office of Service Member Affairs. And you are listening to the show.